I was guilty with nothing to say. And they were coming to take me away. But then a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go and take me instead. And I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have been on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. A crown of thorn, the spear deep in his side, and the grace, it should have been mine. The rusty nails were meant for me, yet Christ took them and he let me go free. And I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place.
Thank you, Brother Lassiter. Open your Bibles this morning to three very important passages of Scripture. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Ephesians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. And then Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. My message this morning for Mother's Day is a little bit unusual, and it pertains to the whole family, not just to mothers. I shall begin to read in the reverse order that I gave you the Scripture. Exodus 20, verse 12. This is part of the Ten Commandments. Honor. Stand up with me out of love and respect for God's Word, please, and as we read the Word of God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, God states it again in the New Testament and enlarges on it and expounds on it somewhat for us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And then in Proverbs 30, verse 11, a very sad verse. There is a generation that curseth their father, and doth not bless their mother. I want to speak to you on this subject today, unusual subject for Mother's Day. The sin of a dying nation. The sin of a dying nation. Father, help me today as I bring this message. Lord, I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to try to wake up people. I'm here to try to help people turn back to you and your word so that we can get back to the place of knowing your blessing instead of being cursed and judged. I'm tired of seeing our children lost to the devil and to the world. I'm tired of counseling with mamas and daddies with broken hearts because of wayward children. God, would you awaken us, especially, Heavenly Father, to mothers and young mothers who are still in the process of training up their children. Help us to realize that the job of bringing up our children is a God-given duty that we as parents are doing for Him. They are His heritage. And help us, Lord, to look at our own heart and our own life today and make sure that we're not part of the problem, but we're part of the solution. Lord, if there's someone unsaved today in this service, would you please save their precious soul? And if there's someone here living away from your will, I pray that they'd come back to an old-fashioned altar of repentance and prayer and do whatever's necessary to get right. Help us to realize that if we have departed from you, then coming back to you requires us to come back in the same area that we departed. And Father, fill us with thy Spirit, speak through us today, and use us for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The sin of a dying nation, the future of any people, or family, or nation, humanly speaking, is dependent on the present generation and their actions. We set or allow to be set in the course of history, or are we allow to be set or we set the course of history for future generations. The present generation either suffers the curse or enjoys the blessings from the past generation. Whether a people or family are blessed or cursed depends on their response and relationship to the Word of God and to the God of the Word. I believe America has chosen her course. And unless a real revival takes place in our churches and in our families, we are a cursed and dying nation as we are now. As we are now in the course we have chosen, we're not on a path that leads us to a better life or to greater joy or greater peace. We've already passed our national prime. We've already passed our social and moral prime. And now we're beyond our spiritual prime. We're not what we ought to be, and we're not what we used to be for God either. Nationally, we're losing our identity as a people and are being pulled into the quagmire of a world government that stands ready to recognize and exalt the Antichrist as the Savior of the world. Socially and morally, we're not getting better. The great society has collapsed. Our government is bankrupt. Families are being forsaken and sacrificed for pleasure and material gain, while we live in a world of hate and greed and murder and rape and assault, drugs, homosexuality, pornography, incest, as well as general moral decay and rebellion. Spiritually, we are not drawing near to God. This nation, as a majority, has rejected Him. This nation, as a majority, has rejected His Word and has abandoned His churches. We've banned God from all government buildings. He's been legislated out of our schools. His Bible has been mutilated by many who claim to be His preachers. His churches have been deserted by those who claim to be His people. And His causes have been abandoned for the latest fads of our day. We're a dying nation as we are today. I'd love to see our nation saved. I love America, and I desire revival in our land and in our homes and among our people. Today we're a people who have sown the seeds of destruction by violating one of the basic and necessary laws of life. We've ceased to respect, honor, and submit to God and to the God-given authorities for our life. Every man, every woman, boy and girl has been given divinely ordained authority figures to help govern, direct, and protect our lives. Adam was answerable to God and His laws, and so is every other human who has ever lived. Every child from Cain and Abel to this very day is put by God under the authority of a mother and father. Parents are standing in the place of God as we train our children in the way that they should go. You listen to me, parents. In order to do this job, we have a very narrow window to get it done. From the time that child is conceived until that child is about 12 years of age, all of the character and discipline and training that's going to affect him for the rest of his life, or majority of it, has to take place. If they are not taught to respect authority and develop character and show honor and respect and love to those in authority over them, then we are setting a course for them that's going to result in World War III in the next 8 or 9 or 10 years of their life. And some of you listening to my voice right now raised your children up your way in those first 12 years and from 13 to 20. You've wished 10,000 times you could have taken it back, but you can't. We do it right the first time, or we live with the consequences and the tears and the hurt. Every citizen is under the authority of an appointed government with laws to protect us and advance us in our human society. You read Romans 13 and God lets you know that government is a gift from God for our good when it's government that respects and honors God. Every worker is under the authority of an employer. Or that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, these above four things are basic to society and they came from God. If a child is not taught to respect and submit to the authority of their parents, they'll usually rebel against other authority figures in their life, like their school teachers, Sunday school teachers, policemen, and especially against God. We live in a society today where marriages are failing and being abandoned because of lack of respect for God-given authority. Families are being destroyed and cursed because of this sin. Respecting and obeying authority is the foundation for a nation or family that we might love and obey God. It begins with every baby born in the home. That baby being trained at mother and daddy's knees. To neglect the training of our children so that they will respect authority and love God and obey God and to honor their parents is the seedbed for the destruction of our nation. To neglect this brings us to a terrible future. No wonder God commands us to honor thy father and thy mother, that the days, thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. And in the New Testament, God states it in this manner, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Here's the promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now for my message this morning, I want you to notice four simple thoughts along this line. Number one, to honor our father and mother is a command from God. It's not a suggestion. It's not arbitrary. Five of the Ten Commandments are commandments that demand our respect and submission to authority. Commandments 1 through 4 demands respect and submission to the authority of God. Commandment number 5 demands respect and submission to the authority of our parents. And a person can never be right in his relationship to God if he is not trained to respect and submit to these authorities. You cannot disrespect mom and dad and expect God to say you're okay. You have violated a basic commandment of God that requires us to show respect and honor to our parents. God designed it exactly this way so parents could train up the children in the way they should go for Him. And parents, listen to me carefully. God didn't give you that child for you to do with that child what you wanted to do with that child. The Bible lets us know that God created that child in you. God gave that child life. That children are a heritage of the Lord. They are entrusted to parents. We can give them their name. We can call them by our name. But our job is to raise them up so they can develop into young men and women that will honor God and obey God and serve God. And while doing that, they'll love and honor and serve mom and dad. Honoring father and mother must begin as a small child before ever they ever know there's a God to be honored. Oh, isn't that cute? Look at him rebelling. Isn't that cute? No, it's sin. It's sin. Honoring father and mother begins as a small child. This is foundational in order for us to someday love and obey and serve God as we were intended. God in the Old Testament strengthens the need for children to honor father and mother. God takes it seriously. I want to give you 3 verses that ought to scare the bejeebers out of you. Exodus 21:15. God said, "He that smiteth his father or mother shall surely be put to death." Every now and then I see a young buck think he's something special, double up his fist at daddy, or act like he's going to slap mama. God said you ought to die. That's what God said. God looks ugly on it. Exodus 21:17. He that curseth his father or mother shall surely be put to death. I've heard boys curse their mother. A mother that's gone into the valley of death to give birth. And that child had the audacity to speak words out of the mouth that breathes and eats because of her and curses her. God said, that is so wicked they ought to die. Now that's the Old Testament. That's God. That's God. He said, well, I don't believe that. Yeah, you're a product of the new society that's doing so well where Joe marries Jim and Sue marries Sarah. When that takes over, there won't be any more children. Deuteronomy 27:16, God said, cursed be he that setteth light. That statement, setteth light, means to esteem lightly by his father and mother. Cursed, God said. You treat them lightly. You take them for granted. You act like they're not all that important in your life. There is a TV commercial that I absolutely despise. I get up and leave when it comes on. It's an AT&T telephone commercial. Family's in a car, 2 boys in the back, mom and dad in the front. The boy said, biggest boy, the teenage, looks like 15 or 16, brain dead. said with his cell phone up here, I need more minutes. And Mama turns around and says, I gave you more minutes back at the restaurant. Those were old. I threw them away. She said, don't you know those are rollover minutes that are left over from last month? They're as good as. And he said, yeah, I know, money. And he gives her that look. Pow! Right in the kisser. Man, I'm sorry. Honor thy father and mother is not a suggestion. It is a command. And God puts some tough consequences against those that won't do it. Number two, what does it mean to honor thy father and mother? What does it mean? Some of you think, well, that's just children. When I get to be an adult, I don't have to do that. But according to the Bible, a child is not an adult at age 14, 16, or 18. In the Bible, a son was a child or a lad until he was 21. Isaac was called a lad at age 17. David was called a boy at age 17. Joseph was called a lad at age 17. So in reference to children, to honor father and mother means that as young men and young ladies under the age of 21, we are to esteem them very highly, to love them, respect them, and obey them. We're to lift them up very highly. Now, to adults, to honor thy father and mother means the same thing and a little more. The word honor, as used here, is used in connection with deity and royalty. God is saying, hey kids, whether you're a child or an adult, you ought to treat your parents like you'd treat deity and royalty. It also, along with meaning to love and esteem and respect, it goes further and means that as adults, we are responsible to honor them by caring for them when they get to the place they can't care for themselves. And in the New Testament, Mark chapter 7, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, a bunch of hypocrites that have thrown away God's laws and rebelled against them and did things their own way. Jesus rebukes them because they had changed that commandment so that when a mama or daddy could not care for themselves, and the child did not want to care for them, they had developed this little program called Corban. And they could go to the priest and say, Corban, and be relieved of the responsibility to care for mother and daddy. Now, what that Corban means was, instead of caring for mom and daddy, we're going to give it to the priest in the temple. Now, they didn't have to give it, they just had to say it. They could use it the way they wanted to. And you know what God said about that? Jesus said about that? He called them a bunch of hypocrites. He condemned them. Because nowhere in Scripture has God made null and void, honor thy father and thy mother. Nor has He done away with the meaning of it. You say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, you're seeing things out of focus. You're not seeing them in the light of God's Word or the light of the leadership of the Holy Spirit or the meaning of plain, ordinary language. A little study would help us greatly. Thirdly, there is both a warning and a promise connected with this commandment. And I want to say to every one of you young men and young ladies here today, and those of you that still have parents living, you and you alone are going to decide whether you know God's blessings or God's cursings on your life. And one of the ways that will determine this is your relationship to your mom and dad. Now, I know how you feel. I know how you act. You want to grow up and you don't like anybody telling you anything because you know everything. But I got news for you. You don't know everything. And at 70 years of age and 45 years in the ministry, I don't know everything. I'm sorry, honey, to have to tell you that. But there is both a warning and promise connected with this. The promise is given to those who obey God's commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. The first commandment with a promise connected to those who obey it. And the actual promise states that thy days may be long upon the land. You say, what does that mean? God says, I'll bless your life with health and protection if you honor mom and dad. Well, I don't mind dying young. Yeah, why'd you go to the hospital when you had appendix rupture? You could just stayed home, died. You want to live. You get a tumor growing in you and you go to the doctor. Why? Not because you're looking forward to dying. You want to live. And God says you can live with blessing and protection and enjoy a long life. You'll learn to practice this principle, this commandment. Honor thy father and mother. It's expanded even more in Deuteronomy 5. Where those who obey this commandment are promised long, protected, and prosperous life. God's blessings. You know, this should be America's dream. America's dream was for everybody to own their own house and their own car. And the government provided a new way to figure mortgages and loans so everybody could get something they couldn't pay for. That's the reason we're in a mess right now. Okay? But God says, there's no fine print in this. Honor thy father and mother that thy days may be long on the earth. The warning is that God can cut off a life and curse the existence of those who do not honor father and mother. I don't believe that. What kind of a God is He? He's a just God that's not going to bless our sin and our rebellion. What kind of a God would He be if He blessed those who were faithful and obey Him and blessed those that didn't? No, He is a just God. A just God and a holy God. Could it be that we're living this curse in America today? There is a generation, God said, that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. This commandment is especially pertinent to our day. We've raised up a rebellious and unruly generation. Some of you go home to heartbreak in the form of children. You can blame everybody else, but it was not everybody else's responsibility to train them. It was yours. Some of you go home to children that are a joy, that are a blessing. And you know why they are? Because you've invested time in them. You have trained them in the way that they should go. And now as they're older, they're practicing what they were trained. And left untrained, they will do what comes natural. And what comes natural is not of God. We have a generation today of lost, hell-bound teens and young adults because they were never taught to recognize and honor the authority that God has put over them, starting with their parents. Now let me conclude. Parents, if you're not right in the area of bringing up and training your children in the way that pleases God, for God's sake and for your children's sake, get right. Don't put a Band-Aid over it and act like it's going to go away. Sin doesn't go away. It just rots and corrupts and eats until it destroys. We've got to come back to God and confess our sin and dedicate ourselves to His way. Some of you still have an opportunity and a window of opportunity to make an eternal difference, as well as a difference in this life, for your children. Some of you grew up and you've gotten saved as young adults, and all of these things you did not know before. You know it now. So why don't you get right with God and begin to honor your parents? I had a young woman say, "My parents don't deserve honor." God didn't say honor them if they deserve it. He said honor them. They're your parents. They're your God-given authority. Honor them. Treat them with respect and love. We have children here today. Some of you have bowed your neck at your moms and dads. You didn't like what they were saying and teaching. You ought to be ashamed. You ought to ask God to forgive you. You ought to rededicate yourself to God and go to mom and dad and say, "Mom and dad, thank you. I didn't like it, but I was wrong. And I'm going to begin to like it because I know it's right." The greatest thing that every one of you could do today, if you do not know that you're saved, you could come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boy, there's the beginning and the foundation for doing what God wants us to do. To get a new heart, a new spirit, a new life, a new beginning, with old things passed away and all things become new. That begins at the new birth. You must be born again. Gives you a life worth living here on this earth. It also gives you a future in heaven to look forward to. If you're here today and you're unsaved, oh, how you need to trust Him today. Now, Father, that's my message this morning. I ask, oh God, that You speak to hearts. I'm sure there'll be people go out of here with their feathers ruffled. And I do not apologize for preaching Your Word. I pray that You'd work in their hearts until they come to the place where they're in agreement with God. Whether they agree with me is not important, but to disagree with You and Your Word has eternal consequences. Speak to hearts today, dear God. Speak to lives. Save men and women and boys and girls. Lord, I know as a teenager that my treatment of my parents changed when I was 15 years old and accepted Christ as Savior. It may be that some of these boys and girls here have that need. They need to be saved. It may be that mom and dad need to be saved. What a change took place in our home when my mother and daddy got saved. Would You speak to hearts this morning? And would You help each of us to decide we're going to live in such a way to exalt the name and memory of our parents and to honor them that are still with us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around.